Some people have moved away. We just had Steve Hoffman move back to West Virginia. We've had a number of families or individuals move, going to different places. Maybe move within in town and so forth. You know, some people have decided to worship at another congregation. I'm very glad that they're worshiping at another congregation of the Lord's church instead of when they leave, either going to the denominations or maybe not at all. You know, this town, seeing that I've grown up here, it's a little unique compared to towns that I hear other people growing up in. A lot of transient movement in Las Vegas. People coming here for work, and it's even transient with congregations. I hear people in other parts of the country where literally a congregation, the attendance there might be generational. You know, your great-grandparents went to that congregation. And Las Vegas is a little bit different. It kind of mirrors a lot of the society, people moving in, moving out due to work or whatever. But we've had some people move away to different congregations that might be closer to them. Maybe don't like it here. Maybe just find a better fit someplace else. Maybe I'm not pretty enough. That'd keep a lot of people away. A lot of people, we don't need amens on that one. We need some sympathy here. Unfortunately, some people, and this is kingdom-wide, some people have drifted away, fallen away. Maybe had some experiences in life that kicked them in the teeth, physically and spiritually. But these are just some of the things that have occurred. I hope, and I like to think that anybody that has moved away from here or have gone to another congregation, I hope when they've left, they've known that we were still brothers and sisters. The people that have drifted away, I hope there's been efforts to encourage them. But this is some of the things that have occurred. And it's no different than the first century. In John 6, starting in verse 66, Jesus was talking with his disciples, and it said, starting in 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" I find this extremely sad. I get it if you know, when somebody tells me, "I just don't get anything out of your preaching." Okay? I get it. Leaving Jesus? I don't get that one. And Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Where else is there? Where else is there? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? If you quit worshiping here at South Valley, I encourage you to worship in a congregation of our Lord's church. Amen. But not drift away. Amen. Because to whom shall we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. And I hope we've all come to believe and know that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not only have we lost some people, we've added some people. We've added some people over this year. Some have moved in. And I tell you, for a small congregation like this, you don't know how important it is when you come in and contribute your time, your activities, your talents to a small group like this. Some have moved in. We've had some births. And I tell you, it's amazing just how fast some of those kids are growing up. We've had some baptisms. We've added them. We've had 5 baptisms. This small little group, due to your efforts, we've had 5 baptisms this year. And between your efforts and the word of the Lord, we've added 5 souls to the kingdom. And that's something to be proud of, to look back on, and it's still being done in the same way as it was the first century. People hearing the word of God, believing it, confessing it to others, repenting of their sins, putting their Lord on in baptism, and hopefully continuing to remain faithful in their Christian walk. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we a lot of times refer to this as the Great Commission. Jesus, one of the last recorded things that he told his followers before he ascended back up into heaven after his resurrection, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen." You know, when this was one of the last things that was recorded that Jesus wanted to pass on to his followers, to take his message to other people. And not just baptizing them. Not just getting them wet, dunking them, and then going to somebody else. But working with them, teaching them to observe all things that he's commanded them. And the good thing about this is, even though he was getting ready to leave and ascend back to the right hand of his Father, "I will be with you to the end of the age," this Christian age. And that's comforting to know that he's with us also. In 1 Corinthians, and this is something that we need to remember, yes, we've had 5 baptisms, but we need to keep it in perspective. It was through our efforts, but the power of the Word. Yes, it was proclaimed by us. Yes, people were encouraged by us. Our efforts, but the power of God also. Paul warned of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There was people at this time in the first century. There was division there. There was different sects. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. You know, I was a follower of Paul. Paul taught me. Apollos taught me. I knew Peter. Paul is addressing this. It doesn't matter. He says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." God has blessed us and our efforts. Granted, people just don't get baptized in a vacuum and void of any efforts. Our efforts helped. But it's God that gives the increase. We've matured. In a lot of ways, we've matured this year as a congregation. Hopefully, we've all matured. And there's a difference. There's a big difference in getting older and maturing. Okay? There's a big difference between getting older and maturing. We've matured as individuals in this congregation, but also as a congregation ourselves. We've gained knowledge. We've gained knowledge in God's Word, and hopefully about life. We've overcome, we've matured through overcoming trials. There's not one of us that haven't had some trials. And we've matured through in our service to God. When you do things that God wants, it's hard not to mature. In knowledge, look at the participation in Bible class. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not real hard shoes, but if I step on your toes, oh well. Come to Bible class. It's important. You learn so much in Bible class, listening to the different comments and studying God's Word. We've gained knowledge, hopefully, through pulpit sermons. And it's not just me. The people Sunday nights, and I commend them, the study that they do, I understand the effort that goes into preparing a lesson. And so when I see these other men getting up on Sunday nights, I know the effort that they have to put into it. I know that the effort when they work a full-time job, or they're raising children, or they're caring for other people, and they prepare a lesson. We've gained knowledge through pulpit sermons. We've had gospel meetings. We've had three this year. This year we had three. We had Daryl Tripp from San Diego, the Bostonia Church of Christ, came and spoke to us. We had Dale Manor delivering a weekend-long meeting about archaeology and the Bible. Tremendous meeting. And we had David Phillips in August. I think it was the third August in a row that he's been. Always a tremendous time to learn. We've gained a lot of knowledge. And then there's the study that you do at home. The study that I know you do at home. Because I hear the comments people make in Bible class. And that doesn't come from lack of study. Not only alone, but with your families. Some of those baptisms that occurred was because studies were being done at home. With family, with friends. Being the good example. And we've gained a lot of knowledge this past year. One of the greatest compliments I think I've ever had is people have said, you know, Bruce, I've memorized the plan of salvation because you have it on the screen or it's on the outline every week. And I've memorized it. I know those scriptures that I can tell somebody. Some people, oh, we always hear that. Okay. Let it go in one ear and out the other. Some people have memorized it to be able to tell others. And we've gained knowledge here at South Valley. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter, who was also an elder, says, starting in verse 5, says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Keep in mind, this is coming from Peter. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. I like to think that we've gained in all of those, but especially the knowledge. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God." I love the King James translation where it says, "Study to show yourself approved," but the New King James, "Be diligent," and in study you have to be diligent. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And people that don't study, that are not diligent, not able to rightly divide the word of truth, will someday stand ashamed before God. And I like to think of us here at South Valley. We dig into the word. a criticism. And anybody that has ever delivered a class, anybody that's ever delivered a sermon, you got to have thick skin. You have to be able to take criticism. One that kind of made my head shake a little bit, I didn't understand one time. All you preach on is from the Bible. Thank you. Was that a dig or a con? I don't like your sermons because all you do is talk about the Bible. It's always from the Bible. Thank you very much. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God. We've grown and matured through the trials we've experienced. None of us, I think, is a woe is me type person. By the world standards, we could be. We sure could be. There's not one of us that haven't had to face things this past year. Are you like me? You think, oh, we're coming into a new year, things are going to be better. Every year we face things. It's a way of life. We've had some financial issues. There's not one of us that probably hasn't faced some sort of a financial issue at one time or another. Maybe some family issues. If you've got kids, you've faced trials with family. Case closed. Some health issues. You know, it's amazing how you can face these things and just keep going. You get kicked, you get knocked down, but you keep going. You get back. It's not how many times you get knocked down, how many times you got to get up one more time, then you're knocked down. And we need to remember that. We've all faced some trials, but we've matured through it. In Romans 5, Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he says, and not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And almost the same type of thing written by somebody different in James. One of the trials we've had is this not working. There we go. James 1, Jesus' brother wrote, my brethren, count it all joy. I'm not there yet. I wish I was. I'm not to the point yet of counting it joy when we encounter when we fall into various trials. But the reason is knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When we encounter various trials, when we encounter things that knock us to our knees, it's hard to consider it joy. But knowing the end result is we're stronger for it. I heard long ago that the trials and tribulations in our lives are like rocks in our path. And a lot of it is attitude. They can either be obstacles or stepping stones to other things. And hopefully, when we encounter trials this next year, 2017 is going to be no different. We're going to face trials. It's not like we're home safe at the end of 2016, that we can grow and mature from the trials we face. We've grown and matured through our service to God and to others. The teaching and preaching. You cannot teach and preach to others, and it's not necessarily from the pulpit. Preaching and teaching to our children at home. Mothers, grandmothers, that never get an opportunity, even men, that never get an opportunity to deliver a sermon from the pulpit. You're preaching and teaching to others, hopefully every day. Every day, you're influencing others. Aiding with worship. We've got so many men that contribute in various ways in our worship services. In a public way. Every one of us participate in the worship service. In our singing praises to God. When we pray to God. When we're communing with our Lord. We're all participating in worship. The behind the scenes. There's a lot of people that do things, say in a worship service, that are visible. Whether it be the preacher, the song leader, whatever. But you know what? More people serve, are serving God and others that you never see what they're doing. Amen. Cleaning the building. Preparing for Bible classes. Running off bulletins. Mopping the floors. I don't think I've ever gone in to the refrigerator to get a water. There's always water there. There's always Kleenex out. There's always toilet paper and soap in the bathrooms. Amen. And that service to God and to each other. The benevolence. We've been able to help a number of people. We've been able to help. In fact, we have an opportunity today. Daryl mentioned these two faithful Christians from King Street Church of Christ. Their congregation is even smaller than ours. They've helped them. There is a need right now. And not to beat a dead horse, Daryl announced it. It's been in the bulletin. If you would like to help out this family, and we've looked into it just to make sure it's not a scam. These are two deserving, faithful members of the Lord's church. People have brought food, items for them, gift items. And we're taking up a collection to help them out. They have fallen way behind on their rent, and they may be evicted if we can't, if people cannot help enough at this time of year, they may be evicted. And again, if you would like to help out, see either Daryl or myself, and we will make sure that that the help is gotten to them. And we've been able to help so many people. The benevolence with each other, the helping, giving people rides to the doctors, helping prepare food for each other when we're sick, things like that. It's tremendous. And that is maturing. We've helped grow through these things, through service to God and to others. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men." We read this verse in Bible class today. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about giving. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Amen. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." We have a very, very giving and loving congregation. It may be small. There's a saying, though he be small, he is fierce. We have a small congregation, but we're very tender and loving and giving. Colossians 3:17, it's always important to remember, you know, just piggybacking from that last verse, Paul's talking about, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever we do, one, that is for the glory of God, not for us to be seen, not that pat on the back, but for the glory of God. Galatians 6:10, and I think of this as we've been going through this with these, trying to help these ladies, I think, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith." We're supposed to do good for everybody as Christians. Let our light shine. but especially the household of faith. We've also developed a good name in the community and across the country. We're located so strategically that we've been blessed with having so many visitors. People traveling through to someplace else, staying here a day or two, or people that this is a destination. They find us on Facebook or on the internet, and it's close to the strip where they're staying. And we have been, the word has gone out that there is a faithful congregation in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, that's close to where they're staying. And that word has gone out. We've had visitors being recommended by other visitors come here. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. We're small, but we have a good name. The church here at South Valley has a good name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 and verse 8, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. And skipping down to verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. I see South Valley. When Paul writes that about the Christians in Thessalonica, I see South Valley. And this was our scripture reading that Dick read earlier today. Philippians, this is the attitude that we need to have. We're at the end of a year. It's not that we've slid into home and we don't have to do anymore. We've got another year coming, if God permits. But Paul writes, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we're ending one year and going into another, let's be proud of the things we've accomplished, the things we've matured in, the baptisms we've had, but let's press on. If you need to respond to the invitation to put your Lord on in baptism, to repent of sins, to decide that you want to worship with us and identify with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and sing.